Sportsline Tuesday is a replay of yesterday's Monday show as we have fewer teams to cover and talk about. We talked a lot. If you did not hear yesterday's, we'll have portions of that program for today's Tuesday edition of Sportsline. In our first round of playoffs, coverage area of the Blue Water Area Conference teams, Greater Thumb Conference teams, and the North Central Thumb League High School A-Player football teams. Also underway is the High School Girls Volleyball Playoffs. District's first round games continue today. And also the district semifinals tomorrow on Wednesday, district championship games on Thursday, and some on Friday. You can stay up to date of the MHSAA High School Girls Volleyball District Playoffs with the latest score updates on the Morning Fury Radio Show and with the MHSAA website. Again, today's Sportsline Tuesday is a replay of Monday's show. And our high school football game of the week features high school A-player football with the Brown City Green Devils hosting the Deckerville Eagles. And high school 8-player football Division I Region 4 championship game will be on Friday. 7 p.m. is the pregame. 7:30 p.m. is kickoff. It'll be live on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. And welcome to another edition of Sportsline Show High School, well, Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. There we go. That's a long title. Back here on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. And with me on the phone is Thumb Tugger Sports Zone, Jonathan Bisher, for this week.
Eddie, we do need to shorten down that title.
Yeah, we do.
and that's because you came up with it.
Well, I wanted to specify that we're only talking about football. I know in the next hour we're going to touch on volleyball playoffs because those are underway right now as we speak. There's some games going on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and even Friday, believe it or not. So,
Friday? Who plays volleyball on Friday?
Brown City does.
Yeah, okay.
All right, high school football playoffs. First round last week, and we had some coverage area teams in our immediate coverage area, which involves the Blue Water Area Conference, but after the first round, not anymore. Greater Thumb Conference, high school A-player football teams also. And first round, some surprises, some not so much big surprises, but plenty of them. And, wow. I'm trying to be... Let's go recap these scores right now, in fact. I'll go through some of the scores. And Jonathan, you covered the Ubley game.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I was at Ubley that night, and man, that is a special team there in Ubley.
We're going to talk about the Ubley Bearcats, Cass City Redhawks. They went down. Also, the Herbie Spirits, that was a big one that went down also. All right, so these are the scores that we had. You can check our sandlakebroadcasting.com website. The full list of the MHSAA football playoff link is also set up there for you. In Division 4, Region 3, District 1, it was Freeland taking down the North Branch Broncos on Friday night, 61-41. Region 3, District 2, the other semifinal, had Orchard Lake St. Mary's, a 3-win team, defeating Crosville Lexington 28-14 also. Division 5, Region 3, District 2, Marine City took down the Yale Bulldogs 42-7. Flint Hamity gets by Armada by 1, 36-35. Division 6, Region 3, District 2, Ovid Elsie takes down another Blue Water Area Conference team over Almont 21-14. Coming into the Division 7, Region 2, District 2, we had some Greater Thumb Conference teams. Montrose takes down Cass City, 28-14. Closer than I expected, in fact. It was the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers over Bad Axe, 21-14. And Division 8, Region 2, District 2, the Ubley Bearcats over the Saginaw Nouvelle team, 49-6. They're the Panthers, aren't they?
The Panthers.
So there was a cat fight there, but the Bearcats coming out on top. Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary defeats Harbor Beach 34-20, taking down the Pirates. Division 8, Region 4, District 1. We covered this game on Sand Lake Broadcasting. It was Marlette losing to Marine City Cardinal Mooney in that one also. So high school A-player football, Region 4 semifinals. It was Deckerville avenging the earlier regular season loss to Kingston. 14-8 was a win for Deckerville. They have the pleasure of traveling to Brown City as Brown City defeated Auburn Hills Oakland Christian 66-38 on Friday night. That will be our game of the week. Once again on WBGV 92.5 FM, Division II, Region 3 semifinals of high school A-player football. It was Augrey Sims taking down North Huron 68-26, and Morris. The Orioles defeat the Peck Pirates 62-6 to eliminate them from the playoffs. So those are your final scores. And, Jonathan, I cannot recall. It's been a while where all the Blue Water Area Conference teams who had pretty good records, good seasons, all went down in defeat in the first round.
I can't recall a time when the whole thumb struggled like they did this year. I mean, all you got really left is Ubley and Lakers, and then Brown City and Kingston. I mean, that's it. Four teams and two more are going to be gone, or one more for sure is going to be gone after this week because Brown City and Deckerville are going to play themselves.
Yeah, I know for Sand Lake Broadcasting, our immediate coverage area usually in the Sand Lake County, but we are guaranteed to be going to a state semifinal in high school A-player football as it is because the winner between Deckerville and Brown City will head to the next round. So we'll be doing this week either Deckerville. Well, we're definitely doing Deckerville Brown City on 92.5 FM, by the way, WBGV, and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. But the winner of that game will be covering the next round regardless. Now, we're just whittled down to those three main games there. We're keeping an eye, of course, on Ubley that you'll be covering on Thumb Tugger Sports. Lakers also still in the mix. And then, of course, Brown City and Deckerville. So that's all we got left right now. So unbelievable how it just all... It kind of withers away so quickly, you know, in that first round.
Yeah, it does. There were some shocking scores, some upsets in the area, some scores that were a lot closer than they should have been, we would have thought. But all in all, I mean, that's playoff football. All you got to do is get to the playoffs, and you never know what can happen.
All right, so when we come back from this break, we are going to talk about the game that you had covered, Jonathan, the Ubley Bearcats. And we'll have that coming up here next. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
We interrupt this program to bring you this special bulletin. Attention to the employees of Dunn Paper Company in Port Huron. For those who are losing their health insurance, make an appointment immediately with the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Grant Smith and his staff are here to help you through the process and get you the proper health insurance that fits your needs. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, your local connection.
Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show. Recapping our coverage area teams, and let's get right to the Ubley Bearcats and the Greater Thumb Conference. By the way, Mike Gallagher is expected to join us in the 6 o'clock hour also. So,
Jonathan, we've got 20 minutes to not let the boat sink.
Okay. Well, the boat's not sinking for the Ubley Bearcats. Man, they ran roughshod over the Saginaw Nouvelle Panthers. Jonathan, you're at this game. You covered this game along with Brandon Deakins, and no problem for the Ubley Bearcats. They just ran all over Saginaw Nouvelle.
Yeah, there was no question in whether Nouvelle was going to stop Ubley's offense. It was more Ubley could stop Nouvelle's offense. And when you run the ball 38 times for 502 yards and 7 touchdowns, yeah, Nouvelle, I don't care who you are, Nouvelle, MLS, Beale City, Iron Mountain, whoever potentially is coming up for the Bearcats, that's tough to stop. I mean, somebody's going to have to score 60 points to rate the Bearcats are at going to beat them.
All right, so let's talk about the stats in this game. You can give me the review on that up against Saginaw Nouvelle. On this Monday Halloween night, by the way, there will be a sports line tomorrow if we can get through all our coverage area teams tonight also, by the way, but you're going to stick to Monday. So Let's talk about the stats and who put the numbers up again.
Well, for Ubley, it was a three-headed monster, like usual. You had Evan Prusky. He had over 155 yards rushing and a touchdown. He averaged almost 20 yards a carry. Then you got the two main guys in the backfield, Aiden Makoviak and Mark Heilig. They were both over 100 yards, 122 and 131 respectively. Makoviak found the end zone three times. Heilig found it twice, and then Seth Maurer found it one time. He had just six carries and still had 78 yards. I mean, all four of those guys over 12 yards a carry. They all found the end zone, and nobody ran it more than 11 times.
So this kind of, you know, he was the leading rusher, Evan Prusky. Was it designed that way? Or, I mean, you still had two other players that were 100-plus yards.
He had a 76-yard touchdown run was where he got most of his yards from, was on one play. You know, over half of them came from there. But really, I mean, he only carried the ball eight times. And if you look on the season, he's only carried the ball 52 times. So he doesn't carry it a whole lot. But when he does, it's explosive. And that's kind of that change of pace Ubley's got. I mean, you got Makoviak and Heilig that have carried it 70-plus times each. And then you just got Prusky that can come off the edge and good luck catching him. I mean, me and Brandon both thought the safety for Nouvelle took a great angle to catch Prusky before the pylon. And all of a sudden, you've seen Prusky kick it in another gear, and the safety just turned it off. And he went, yeah, I'm not catching him.
Yeah, not one pass in this game from Evan Prusky. It was not needed. Bread and butter has been the running game, but not one pass.
Yeah, and if you're Ubley, why do you pass the ball? You're averaging 13 yards a carry. They haven't stopped you. There's no sense of putting the ball in the air and risking a turnover, and no sense of showing these other playoff teams that you're coming up against what they might even see. We've seen during the regular season, Ubley a couple times went spread. They're throwing it 19 times in the season, so they can too when they have to. But now you're starting to see these teams that aren't from the area, you know, Saginaw, Nouvelle, now MLS, that, you know, Nouvelle and MLS are very close schools. I'm sure the coaches are going to talk. And right now, Nouvelle's telling MLS, well, you guys got to figure out a way to stop them guys from running the ball. And Coach Sweeney's diabolically going, we're still going to run the ball, but if we have to, we can throw it. But we're not going to throw it unless we have to.
So, yeah, 294 yards passing just on the whole season. He does have six touchdowns. Key thing is no interceptions for Evan Prusky also.
Yeah, that's just efficient through the air, 14 of 19, like you said, averaging over 20 yards a pass, six touchdowns, so almost half his passes go for touchdowns. That's all you can ask for out of an Ubley offense.
And he's the second leading rusher because of those stats from last week also. It kind of took the lead in that. Man, he was averaging almost near 20 yards a carry last week.
Yeah, he was, and on the season he averages 16 yards a carry. So that just means when they put the ball in his hands, it's go time. We're looking for a big play or it's a critical down. And that just tells me when we get later into the round that Ubley can make this deep run we're all expecting him to, that if there's a game where it's close, it's going to be the Evan Prusky show. Now, Mark Heilig leads the team 83 carries, and he leads the team in yards and touchdowns with 935 and 220 touchdowns on the season. So it is the Mark Heilig show on the season, but you just look at Evan Prusky's number, and he's doing about what everybody else is doing on half the carries.
So the Ubley Bearcats will move on to the next round, and they take on the Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and they defeated the Harbor Beach Pirates. What can you tell me? What did you learn from this game for the Harbor Beach Pirates? It's just everybody kind of, you know, took it for granted that Harbor Beach was going to win this game. The Saginaw MLS obviously found a way to beat them.
Yeah, this is kind of a game that I think a lot of the Thumb people thought Harbor Beach was going to go over there. They're going to take care of business. Now, they did have a freshman at quarterback. It was only the second game. You wondered if that had something to do with it. You wonder what actually happened because, you know, we had heard that they were running all over Seminary. Seminary couldn't stop Harbor Beach's run. And if that's Michigan Lutheran Seminary's weakness on defense, the stop of the run, they're going to have their hands full come Friday night against Ubley, because what does Ubley do more than any team in the area, Eddie?
They run.
Yeah. They run the ball. So Seminary might be in for a long night. And this is going to be Ubley's biggest test, though. This is a very good Michigan Lutheran Seminary. Their only loss coming to Ithaca, who we all know in the state is an absolute powerhouse. So it's going to be a tall task for Ubley. Harbor Beach exploited some weaknesses for the Bearcats against Seminary, And you got to imagine that Coach Sweeney is going to take that game film and he's going to implement his offense and say, yep, this is what we can do against the Cardinals. And hopefully they come out with another win so we got another week of sports line.
So the Ubbly Bearcats take on Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and you talked about what they've done throughout this season. Just 9-1, their lone loss was to Ithaca, one of the, you could say, top echelon players in the area. They are 9-1 also themselves, as they defeated Lake City 48-14. That's Ithaca, but let's talk about Saginaw MLS. They played Cardinal Mooney with a win, 43-32, who won over Marlette last week, by the way. They also a common opponent. They played Nouvelle also. They won 55-7. So that's a common opponent for Ubbly and Saginaw MLS.
And in Harbor Beach. So Ubbly took care of business early in the season against Harbor Beach pretty easily. MLS had their hands full with Harbor Beach. Both teams took care of Nouvelle, no problem. So you look at it, and I think you give the edge to Ubbly just based off their defense, only allowing 56 points on the season. I mean, that's not even a touchdown a game they're giving up. So you got to give the advantage to the Bearcats, mainly because of that defense. And both teams got potent offenses. Ubbly scoring 49, MLS scoring 45 a game. So they both can put up points, but I think it's Ubbly's defense that gives the Bearcats the edge.
Well, you know, Saginaw MLS could surprise even more people. I mean, good season. They can't pass the ball. 79 yards passing in that win over Harbor Beach. They got a touchdown in that game against Harbor Beach, 8 of 17 passing, and they rushed the ball on Harbor Beach pretty darn well. 37 carries, 358 yards for Saginaw MLS, and also 4 touchdowns. So you think both these teams are similar? You've seen them in the past a lot, and we have both, you know. Are they still sticking to the same method and formula that they use in the, I guess, their offensive lineup?
I would imagine so. They kind of say that spread formation, a lot of read options. They got a big-time quarterback in Evan Wakefield that's kind of the go-to guy for Michigan Lutheran Seminary. You know, he's averaging 156 yards a game on the ground. He's their quarterback. He's got over 1,000 rushing yards on the season. He's thrown for over 600 yards. So really, MLS kind of reminds me of Harbor Beach when they go spread. They want to run the ball, but they will throw the ball. Not quite as efficient as the Pirates, but that's kind of the comparison. And we all know what Coach Becker did to Harbor Beach's offense earlier in the year.
All right, so it'll be Saginaw, Michigan Lutheran Seminary taking on at the Ubbly Bearcats. It'll be a home game for the Ubbly Bearcats themselves also. What time is the game starting this one?
7 o'clock.
7 p.m., so you'll be on what time?
6:30.
All right. The game will be on Channel 1, I do believe.
I do believe.
At filmtogether.com. So either Jonathan or we'll find out for sure. We're trying to hammer out the schedule by tomorrow, hopefully. So tune in. However, regardless, Thumbtogether Sports will be covering the game regardless. So tune in for that.
Regardless, too close not to be there.
Yeah. All right. So Ubbly Bearcats, can they move on to the next round? Or will Saginaw MLS continue to shock at least us? Because we take it for granted that, hey, our team's going to win. Everybody would love to think our coverage area team was going to win, but hey, after what happened this past first round, ooh, it hurts sometimes. So, all right, we'll be right back. We got another Greater Thumb Conference team to talk about, Marlette Red Raiders. Also, the Cassidy Redhawks both went down in defeat also. We'll be right back here. Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Today's Sports Line Tuesday is a replay of Monday's show from yesterday. And also don't forget the high school girls volleyball playoffs are underway in the districts. Latest updates from our coverage area teams and their final scores and sets, you can go to our website at SanLakeBroadcasting.com. All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, East China Township Stadium, where we saw, here we go, leading into the Marine City Cardinal Mooney win over the Marlette Red Raiders. You know, Marlette snuck into that playoffs, getting their win in Week 9 over Waterford Our Lady Lakes, and a 5-4 record to get in. And they actually hung in there, by the way, against Marine City Cardinal Mooney, who's got some pretty good athletes. I would love to see them, and maybe we will, against some teams in the Division 8, because that's where Marlette fell. It was 6-6 after the first quarter, and then six more points for Marlette in the second quarter. Cardinal Mooney, however, got 14 in the second quarter. They were leading 20-12, but still doable at the half there for Marlette to get in, and they did. Third quarter, they scored 6 points, making it 20-18, but then Cardinal Mooney scores 8 in the third, and then they exploded in the fourth with 20 points to win 48-24 over Marlette. You know, it was good that Marlette gets in, but they ran into a pretty good Marine City Cardinal Mooney team. They got some athletes on there. One of the main athletes, we mentioned his name a lot, was Brendan Hasten, leader, 24 carries, 201 yards, and 3 touchdowns also. And Brian Everhart, the quarterback, efficient job. He got a trifecta, kind of like Christian McCaffrey, except he scored on defense with a pick six. He threw a touchdown, and he ran for a touchdown also for Cardinal Mooney. And pretty good stud athletes here for Cardinal Mooney. A lot more size than Marlette. They just kind of run into a tough team in the first round, Jonathan.
Yeah, but you got to give Marlette a lot of credit for hanging in there with Cardinal Mooney. And this is kind of the district we thought we would see was Marlette, Cardinal Mooney, Ubley, and Harbor Beach. And I would like to point out, Marlette hangs in there for three quarters with Cardinal Mooney. I mean, they're only down 10 going into the fourth quarter, and they're scoring, too. It's not like it's a 10-0 ball game or a 6-16 where it's low scoring. You know, they scored 6 points every quarter, so they're putting up points. And Cardinal Mooney, it took them to the fourth quarter, really, to put them away. And you go, man, Harbor Beach and Ubley just walloped them, and Cass City walloped them. And you just look at what Marlette struggled with up in the thumb. And that bodes well for, I guess, really just Ubley, because they're the only team left in Division 8 in the area. You know, you're thinking if Harbor Beach would have beat MLS, that either of those teams could have made a run. And it's starting to look like that south side of the bracket in Division 8 is weaker than we even thought was possible.
Marlette, total yardage, 163 passing yards, 207 rushing yards, 22 first downs, but they had 2 turnovers. And one of them was a pick six, by the way. And the other one, Cardinal Mooney was able to score off that turnover on offense. 31 minutes, a few seconds of time of possession for Marlette. Only 16 minutes, 42 seconds for Marine City Cardinal Mooney. Man, and 2-for-3 for passing, 66 yards for Cardinal Mooney. One of them was a touchdown. You know, they had a touchdown pass. 268 yards rushing, 18 first downs. And he said, you'd think there would be more yards. It's because of the short field. Usually they were ended up around the 40-yard line to start for Cardinal Mooney. So you take away easily 40 yards, you're only dealing with 60 yards. Is that something that Ubley's been experiencing also? Maybe the yards would be higher?
Oh, 100%. If Ubley didn't have the short field to work with like they do every time, their yards would be a lot higher. Because we all know they're very capable on going these 10-play, 80-yard, 8-minute drives. But instead, They got a kicker by the name of Brett Mueller that puts everything in the end zone. So the opponents start at 20-yard line. They go three and out. They punt. Ubley takes over at midfield, and they're scoring in three plays.
Yeah, Quentin Sutton, it was on his back pretty much. 163 yards passing, 8 of 15, one touchdown from Marlette. Two interceptions. He ran for 89 yards and had two touchdowns also in the game. Second leading rusher was Logan Malloy with 55 yards. Tyler Isidorek had a touchdown with 34 yards carry also. But the stud I talked about for Cardinal Mooney, Brendan Hasenleader, number five, 24 attempts, 201 yards, three touchdowns. Brian Everhart, the quarterback, he had 52 yards rushing and two touchdowns, a pick six also on defense. And he threw for a touchdown, and that was to Luke Bright, a receiver, for 46 yards, one touchdown also in the game. Cardinal Mooney moves on to the next round also themselves, and they will be up against, let me see if I get this, they'll be up against Clarkson Evers. Clarkson, they'll take place at East China Township Stadium.
Yeah, that'll be a rematch for Cardinal Mooney and Clarkson Everett, where I believe Cardinal Mooney came out victorious in week five.
Yeah, I got to cut you off real quick here. When we come back in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll continue this conversation with WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
We interrupt this program to bring you this special bulletin. Attention to the employees of Dunn Paper Company in Port Huron. For those who are losing their health insurance, make an appointment immediately with the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Grant Smith and his staff are here to help you through the process and get you the proper health insurance that fits your needs. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, your local connection.
Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
It's Sportsline Tuesday. It's a replay of Monday's show as fewer teams are now left in our playoffs and coverage area. Sportsline Tuesday, a replay of Monday's show. Our game of the week in high school football playoff action features high school A player football, with the Brown City Green Devils hosting the Decker-Vue Eagles this coming Friday evening, 7 p.m., is the pregame kickoff at 7:30 p.m. You can listen live on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Let's get on to we left off on the Marlette team. I think we pretty much wrapped it up right then and there, what we left off on. So, you know, again, 5-4. We're actually 5-5 now after their loss to Marine City Cardinal Mooney. And we were looking actually at the playoff picture right there for Marine City Cardinal Mooney. They're at the bottom bracket, so they won't run into Ubley unless they continue to win on and move on themselves.
Yeah, they got to win the state championship.
Yeah, they possibly, you know. But there's a lot of good teams in that bracket as it is.
There's a lot of good teams in that northern part of that bracket. The north bracket with Ubley, Beale City, Everett, and Iron Mountain and Fowler. Yeah. Are absolutely loaded.
Yeah, and Clarkson Evers Collegiate, decent team out there. They took on Montrose, by the way back in week one. They lost 27-0. Their other loss was to New Lothrop, 55-0. No surprise there. New Lothrop always a perennial power. Clarkson Evers Collegiate actually lost by a touchdown total of points to Marine City Cardinal Mooney. So this is the second meeting. 15-8 was that score. Another common opponent, they defeated Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes, 28-0, the team that Marla had won also. And then for Clarkson Evers Collegiate, they defeated Flint Beecher 71-34. They get to this round at Cardinal Mooney. And that game, they're saying that this game may be on Friday night, so maybe they're switching spots with Marine City Mariners, apparently, at East China Township Stadium. So, yeah. All right. So that's that on that aspect. And by the way, the winner of the Ubley and Saginaw MLS team in Division 8 will take on, I'm looking at the winner of Fowler in Beale City. And look at that matchup. Salivating matchup right there.
That's an enticing matchup. Fowler 9-1, Beale City 10-0. Beale City coming off a state championship game appearance last year. Fowler beat Pawama Westphalia this year, so you know they're the real deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Fowler wins that one. And if you're Ubley, you probably hope Fowler wins that one so you don't see Beale City and you don't have to go to Beale City because Fowler would have to come to you.
Yeah, and they're meeting instead of could possibly, if Ubley wins or Saginaw MLS wins, but if Ubley wins, they'll meet up with Beale City in a regional championship game.
For the first time, instead of a semifinal, maybe the third time in 4 years they played each other.
Yeah. So we'll see, how things go. But you just know Beale City is just one of those powers that houses that continue to move on. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Montrose, who clutched an Everest Collegiate, lost to. Montrose went up against Cass City in Division 7. Cass City got themselves into the playoffs. They won the games they were supposed to win. They played in the Greater Thumb East, so they actually took on some pretty tough competition. They played in the Greater Thumb East Conference this year as a member of the GTC East. Is that going to probably stick around for them, too, to stay in the East?
I don't see it happening. I see a conference realignment with maybe some schools adding, maybe something with the NCTL gets figured out. Before Cassidy is just permanently in the East. That's the last resort.
All right. So, anyways, Cassidy loses to Montrose 14-28, the final score in that one. And Cassidy, by the way, also played Beale City in Week 9, and they held pretty strong against Beale City. They lose that one 14-27. They lose to Montrose 14-28. So, hopefully they had some game tape and maybe pass that on later.
Oh, I'm sure they did. That, like I said, these matchups for Marlette and Cass City and Harbor Beach are playing these opponents tough. This bode well for Ubley because Ubley this year just took care of business against everybody. They really haven't had an overly competitive game all year. I mean, Harbor Beach was competitive. Cass City was competitive. Don't get me wrong. But they haven't been pushed to the brink. They haven't trailed all year. That's a big thing for Ubley. They haven't trailed, so... we got to see what they do against adversity, but give Cassidy a lot of credit. They went out, they scheduled Beale City, a tough opponent. They hung in there with them. They got in the playoffs, and they hung in there with a very good Montrose team, and they might have given Lakers a recipe for success against them.
Well, we'll see what holds for Montrose now. Montrose will take on the Lakers. The Lakers defeat Bad Axe in a rematch from the regular season, which was a rematch for the Greater Thumb West title game. And in that first meeting, it was Lakers winning 32-14. This time, it was a little bit more tougher, but Lakers came out on top 21-14, and now they take on Montrose for that district championship. What did you learn from this game? Did you hear anything on this?
Lakers probably played the worst game they had all year. You got to look at it, three turnovers. That's really the big deal there. Can't have that when you start playing these good team Lakers. Bad Axe. Same thing, a couple of turnovers is really what killed them. You know, Bad Axe had a chance in this game. You're up 14-6 going into the fourth quarter, and you give up 15 points in the fourth quarter while you don't score. I mean, the Hatch has got to figure it. Well, too late this year, but their running game was almost non-existent when they played high-quality teams, and 5-18 passing. I mean, they ran 43 plays for 61 yards, Eddie. That is not good football. I mean, that's a yard and a half per play. You're just not going to have much success there, hence why they lost to Lakers. Lakers, we all know it's the Ethan Wisner show. It became the more Ethan Wisner show after Connor McCain went down with an injury. So now Lakers will go as far as Ethan Wisner can take them.
Yeah, I'm just astounded by these stats from Clark Ramsey of WOW Sports, who did this game with Lakers against Bad Axe. I'm astounded by the minus 3 yards, 25 carries, as you pointed out, 64 yards. You said 61 total yards of offense in this game for the Bad Axe Hatchets. Mm-hmm. And we're leading 14-6.
Yeah, they're leading 14-6 going into the fourth quarter. And, man, their defense is playing great. They forced three turnovers, two interceptions, and a fumble. You got to give all the credit to Bad Axe's defense. I mean, being right there. But Ethan Wisner is just too much to handle for Lakers. Comes crunch time, what does he do? He puts the team on his back. He literally carries them into the end zone.
You mentioned the 143 yards, Ethan Wisner, 29 carries, rushing-wise. I mean, their offense, they've been going back and forth with Connor McCain and Ethan Wisner throughout most of the season. But Ethan Wisner has really been taking over more and more of the duties here for the Lakers. Well,
and he's going to have to because McCain's out with that injury we heard from Clark and a couple other people. It did not sound too promising for the young man. So you got to imagine that's just going to put a bigger workload on Ethan Wisner. More known for his running than his throwing, as he was just 1 for 5 this past Friday night with an interception. But 29 carries last night, or Friday night. And would Paul say in the 3 games, 2 against Bad X, 1 against Cassidy, Ethan Wisner has like 70-some, 80-some carries in just 3 games. So you know he's got a big workload from the season on him. You wonder how fresh his legs are going into the season playoffs.
Yeah, and we're kind of wondering if they were banged up in the last couple of games, but especially against Bad X, because that was a pretty heated rivalry even from the regular season into this playoff rematch also. All-purpose yards, 244 yards, 57 plays for the Lakers. And there's only 6 yards of passing in this game. I think you're going to need a little bit more than that when you're going up against Montrose.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a very clean game for Lakers. One thing that was pretty clean about it, well, this time was they only had 15 yards in penalties. They still had 5 penalties, so too many for Lakers. They really got to clean that up and can't have the turnovers like they've had the past 2 weeks. They're going to have to play a clean game if they want to go to Montrose and beat Montrose.
All right, and looking at that Division 7 matchup, that will be a Friday night, I believe. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, Division 7, it's Lakers at Montrose, 7 p.m. on Friday night. They'll take on the winner of Pewaumont Westphalia or New Lothrop. And, man, that looks like a good matchup. New Lothrop 8-2. They're in Division 7 this time, so... District championship game between those two teams and Lakers and Montrose. So the winner, of course, will face off against each other for the regional championship come in a couple weeks. So there's a good mix of teams there. It's going to be a tough going here for Lakers, especially against Montrose. It takes on a little bit more competition than the Greater Thumb West. It's a stronger conference, obviously. No, they're not Tri-Valley. What are they called? They're in...
Genesee Area Conference.
Yeah, there's an MMAC, it's called. Now, so.
I thought they were the GAC.
So, yeah, it's what it says here on Michigan High School
Football.
Okay, so
they're the Mid-Michigan Area Conference now. It used to be known as the Genesee Area Conference.
There you go. So, okay. Coming up next, we're going to have Mike Gallagher join us. So we'll be right back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show.
From Graff, Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have 3 Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
How do you make the most of your land? Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the Wrens or the Caggianos, who run with us on John Deere mowers, they'd tell you.
I mow first, then I do all the trimming.
Get as much done in advance as possible.
I jump out of the house, a cup of coffee, and I'm at work.
But the Upshaws, the Hubbards, and the Allens, who work behind the wheel of John Deere compact tractors, would say,
something that's worth doing isn't always easy.
If it's something you want, just go after it and try it.
And most of all,
I make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
Then there's the Nelsons and the Mosers, who may mention from the seat of their Gator UTVs,
it's important to just take it one day at a time.
You can't be all working up, like.
The most fun we have on the Gator is just ripping around the property.
It's a way of life.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Race, and Rochester Hills.
All right, welcome back. Enough of that NFL music. We had to get our mic set, and in the studio is Mike Gallagher from the Sandlot County News. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. It was nice listening to you guys.
Oh, you were listening.
I was. Yeah.
I got one. Yeah. We got one listener, Jonathan.
Woohoo!
All right, here on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. We'll have this. As I say, if we go in overtime past the 7 o'clock hour, that's okay. All right, the Blue Water Area Conference, Jonathan. You got to see the Blue Water Area Conference. I have many years also. You're really impressed with some of the games you saw. You said not just a lot of great games you got to do and see them. But I'm going to pose this question to Jonathan. I'm going to pose this question to you, too.
Okay.
When was the last time where we had five BWAC teams in the playoffs? It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
But all get bounced in the first round alone.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because that was a huge opportunity for the BWAC to make a statement, because you look at the teams that the BWAC got matched up with, Freeland, Flint Hamity, Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Those are some of the, some of the top programs in the state. And, it would have been nice for them to kind of come out and make a statement. But, on the other hand, those are all great teams. So, I mean, there's really no shame in losing to those teams. That's a tough draw for North Branch, Freeland.
Yeah.
That's tough for North Branch to have to face off with them. Croslex with Orchard Lake St. Mary's. I did think the Armada loss was a little surprising when you look at Flint Hamity's schedule, their strength of schedule was not that impressive. But, I mean, they came to play. Yeah, they came to play. So that was impressive, yeah.
So you mentioned North Branch. Let's go through this. It was 8-7 Freeland leading in the first quarter. They scored 16 points in the second quarter. However, North Branch takes the lead 27-24 at the half. 16 points by Freeland, making it 16-8. Only 8 points for North Branch in the third quarter. Freeland just exploded in the fourth quarter with 21 points. North Branch could only muster 6 points to lose 61-41. Total yards, they went to the passing game because Will Damask is that kind of type of a player. I'm watching him since, like, he was like kindergarten size when he first started. Now he's like, he's a man now.
Yeah.
So, red shirt quarterback here in his fifth year.
Yeah.
North Branch, 240 yards passing yards, 238 yards rushing, 30 first downs. Rushing yards, it was Freeland just going to the ground and pound, 383 rushing yards and 27 passing yards. Offensively, each team had a turnover. 7 penalties for Freeland was 70. 45 yards penalties for North Branch in this game. Player of the game, Nick Harrington, 19 carries for Freeland, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Ryan Henney, we saw what he could do. He's probably the leading ball carrier for North Branch, I believe. It's pretty close, but they're pretty even.
Yeah.
16 carries, 106 yards, and 1 touchdown. Will Damask, however, the passing game, he showed it off, 240 yards. Didn't throw for a touchdown, but Griffin Mayberry, big guy, too.
Yeah. Yep.
6 receptions, 123 yards. You saw this this team up close against Croswell. And Croswell's the team that beat Freeland the week before.
Right.
North Branch beats Croswell
3 weeks
before that. And then Freeland comes around and says, okay, we know what to do now.
Yeah. And I don't want to necessarily say that the loss to Croslex was a wake-up call by any means because, Croslex definitely earned that win. But if you're Freeland, that does kind of make you go back to the drawing board. It kind of humbles you a little bit going into the playoffs. But then you look at North Branch. I mean, they were one of the hottest teams going into the postseason with the convincing win over Croslex and then the convincing win over Three Rivers. I think when you're reading off those scores those stats, you know, that is a great game from Damascus. But that's probably not what the game plan was for North Branch. I don't think they probably didn't want to throw it around that much. You don't really want to get into a shootout with Freeland. And, you know, but Freeland's a great team.
Yeah.
That's a team that's consistently making deep playoff runs. And you mentioned Henny. He's kind of emerged as the guy these past couple weeks, starting with the Croslex game. So, you know, it's a great season for North Branch. They got a share of the BWAC title. But, yeah, that's tough, though, being bounced in the first week, though.
Tough draw in the first round, too.
That is, yeah, it was an incredibly tough draw. Yeah, and that whole district was pretty brutal. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to replace Damascus, but I expect North Branch to be right back next year, you know.
Now, they spread the ball out very good. Freeland did. Now, I mentioned Nick Carrington, 122 yards, two touchdowns, 102 yards, seven carries for Ty Fournier. He had two touchdowns and 102 yards. Sam Talaga, 81 yards, eight carries, averaging 10 yards a carry, two touchdowns also. And a touchdown for Braden Peter, I guess, or Petrie. He had 10 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown also. So they really gave North Branch Broncos a defense a really hard time focusing on one guy.
Yeah, absolutely, so. Yeah.
You mentioned the trifecta for the rushing stats. It was Ryan Henney, leading rusher, 106 yards. But two touchdowns for Aiden Swash, 45 yards carry. Lucas Chapman, 40 yards, two touchdowns. And Lucas Chapman also had 31 yards and a touchdown in this game. 123 yards was the leading receiver for Griffin Mayberry. Aiden Swash had 62 yards receiving. Jonathan, you got to look at this North Branch team against Armada. Your take on this game?
Yeah, I don't think it was ever a question of their offense, how good it was all year. It was just whether they're going to stop Freeland or not coming into this game. And like Mike said, you don't want to get in a shootout with the Freeland Falcons. When, like you said, the Croslex game might have been a little bit of a wake-up call. You don't really look at it that way when it's Freeland because they're always so good. But definitely North Branch had their hands full, and they just didn't have an answer to stop Freeland. I mean, you talk to Phil and John, and they said the same thing. Freeland offensively could do whatever they wanted to.
All right, so they will move on to the next round up against Goodrich, another team that played against a BWAC team also. But it'll be Freeland at Goodrich. That should be a good game. That'll be a Friday night also. They take on the winner of Orchard Lake St. Mary's or Madison Heights Lamphere in a couple weeks for the regional championship game. We'll talk about Orchard Lake St. Mary's against Croswell right after this quick look at the weather forecast.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here at Moore Motors in Carroll. What a crazy couple years we've had, coming out of an unprecedented quarantine. Toilet paper and food shortages, insane gas and fuel prices, mask or no mask, vehicle shortages. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, this world, and particularly the car business, has changed forever. With that said, Moore Motors Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is here, fully staffed with seasoned veterans to assist you with all your car needs. sales, parts, service, and body shop. We have certified experts on hand to assist you ordering exactly what vehicle you want with the exact options. And finally, I can say we have 34 new vehicles and 58 pre-owned in stock. And don't worry, friends, we're not charging over sticker for our vehicles like some of our competitors. We're paying top dollar for needed trade-ins as well as lease turn-ins. So come experience why we were voted the number one new car dealer in the Thumb by you, our friends, neighbors, and customers. This is Denny King, the King of Cars, and I'm excited to assist you and see you soon. Or visit us on the web at themoreautogroup.com.
You're traveling to another dimension, a dimension of not only an office, but a home office. Your next stop, Kelly's home office. Kelly was working from home when the unthinkable happened. She reached for her coffee cup and...
Oh, no.
With her computer beyond repair, she only had one option, and that's where the real terror began. The price of a new computer from the big box store was enough to chill Kelly's blood. But then, she had an idea.
Hello, welcome to the AVS Tech Team. How can we help?
Kelly had remembered that the AVS Tech Team had quality refurbished computers, which happened to be greatly discounted through the month of October.
All of our refurbished computers go through a rigorous multi-point inspection and a restoration.
Wow, these are really affordable.
Today, Kelly learned a valuable lesson. That the AVS Tech Team has prices so low, you'll scream. Terms and conditions apply. Discounts valid while supplies last.
It's Sportsline Tuesday. It's a replay of Monday's show as fewer teams are now left in our playoffs and coverage area. Sportsline Tuesday, a replay of Monday's show. Our game of the week in high school football playoff action features high school A-player football with the Brown City Green Devils hosting the Decker Vuegos this coming Friday evening, 7 p.m. is the pregame kickoff at 7:30 p.m. You can listen live on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Sometimes the off-air commentary is better than the on-air commentary.
There's a reason it's off-air, though.
Okay. The Crozier-Lexington Pioneers lose to Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Orchard Lake St. Mary's came in as a 3-win team, Mike Gallagher.
Yeah.
What the heck happened here?
Yeah, that's... I mean, they proved that they belonged in the playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
You look at that schedule that they had. That's a Catholic League team. They're playing teams that are a lot bigger than them. Orchard Lake St. Mary's, Class B school. Pretty much everybody on their schedule was Class A school. They were impressive. They were good. Yeah. I mean, I can see that, you know, they deserve to be in the playoffs. And I kind of like their chances this week, too.
They used to be a Class A. They fell down to 716 students, according to Michigan High School Football.
So the reason for this is Orchard Lake St. Mary's used to be an all-boys school.
Oh.
And if you're an all-boys school for MHSAA enrollment, you double that number. Uh-huh. So now they're not an all-boys school anymore, but they just started letting girls into the school. So you don't double that number anymore, and you don't really have you don't have the same amount of girls as you do boys quite yet.
If you give them about 6 or 7 years, their enrollment will climb.
Once
the girls get situated, you get those families that keep coming back and everything. Their enrollment will be back up near 1,000.
Yeah, and that's why they really benefited from the new playoff system this year, the playoff point system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're a Class B school, but, you know, you've been competing against Class A schools for, you know, quite some time now playing in the Catholic League. So, yeah.
And even against Brother Rice, who was a Class A school, but they were 4-5, they actually went to a playoff themselves and moved on to the next round. They were a 4-5 team themselves. I think that's what helped Orchard Lake St. Mary's is get that win over Brother Rice. They did lose to River Rouge. They lost in the first round of playoffs against Martin Luther King, and they also played against Adams. That was a loss for Orchard Lake St. Mary's, who was 9-1. They got the win over Lake Orion, 49-35. And the other team, that was Detroit Catholic Central, 17-31 loss, but they're 7-2. They move on to the next round themselves, also Class C side school, getting those playoff points. And Yeah, everybody's scratching their head. I thought, you know, three wins. He goes, no, just the playoff point system. Do you like the playoff point system, Mike?
I like it. I'm still getting used to it because I got used to, you know, six, win six and you're in, you know.
Yeah.
I like this system, though. I'm still trying to understand it. You know, there's a lot of little quirks to it and stuff, but I think it's all right. I think it's better than the year when everybody just made the playoffs. I wasn't really a fan of that.
Jonathan?
My biggest flaw, I wish, you know, I like how you get bonus points for playing bigger schools. It hurts some of these smaller schools because big schools don't want to play them.
Yeah.
To an extent, like in Ubley, I think there needs to be more emphasis on getting more points from playing teams with very good records. You know, if you play a 9-0 team and you lose to them, you should get more points than beating a 0-9 team with a bigger school.
Yeah, well, then,
that will never happen, but something along those lines needs to happen. You should get more bonus points for a loss to really good teams than you should for beating up on really bad teams.
Yeah, but we also saw it. We also saw it benefit the smaller schools this year with Hamtramck. You know, we had a couple BWAC teams pick them up. Bad Axe picked them up week 9, and you know, Hamtramck, a big Class A school, not a very good football team, but there's a lot of playoff points there. It does have its pros and cons for sure.
So you say not a very good team, and it showed. They only won one game all year, and they've only won like 3 games the last 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, these smaller schools are getting these big playoff points from going to play a really poor school, rather than scheduling somebody really good and really testing themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's look into this game for Croswell Lexington. Losing to Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Croswell Lexington losing 28-14. Croswell Lexington was able to get 141 yards passing, 12 of 29, 3 interceptions, however. You can't do that in any game, no matter what the record is on the other team. They're going to take advantage of those 3 turnovers and try to score off them, and they did.
Yeah, well, and especially against a team like Orchard Lake St. Mary's, you got to play a pretty perfect game. That kind of goes for all playoff games, though. And it was a little disappointing to see just because, you know, the week before against Freeland, we saw Croslex play that perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been nice to see that carry over. But I think it also had a lot to do with Orchard Lake St. Mary's, you know.
178 yards rushing for Croswell Lexington. 31 carries, according to what I have here for offense. This is from Croswell Lexington's offense. Am I correct on the stats here?
If you have it pulled up on Max Preps, that's, I'd say okay. It's probably accurate.
And, yeah, because I have 300 total yards for Croswell in this game, 74 yards passing, 226 yards rushing, according to this stat now. Different ones, so I was probably a little bit off. I think 189 yards goes to passing for Orchard Lake St. Mary's and 271 yards rushing. Very efficient there. Actually, it was Croswell Lexington leading 6-0 in the first quarter. Gavin Espinosa with a 79-yard run. The kick was no good by William Geiger. Ryan Mooney responds for Orchard Lake St. Mary's, 65-yard pass, making it 7-6. No scoring in the second quarter. Then in the third quarter, coming out of the half, you know, it was Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Oh, boy, this is a tough name. Anthony Kiafoulis, 18-yard pass from Braden Ledden. 14-6 at that point. Billy Groppy, 11-yard run. Tying it up, 14-14.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Mooney, however, a 19-yard pass from Brian Leedon, 21-14. Richard Goyke, a 6-yard run also, 28-14 there. And again, it's the 4 turnovers, 3 interceptions thrown, 9 penalties on Croswell also. Those were probably drive killers, 67 yards, and a fumble also in the game.
Yeah, so. And you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the game, Croslex gets on the board, and the defense comes up with an interception, Nick Monzo. And at that point, you're feeling pretty good. You're feeling pretty good at halftime, too. You know, you're down a point. And even in the third quarter, tied 14-14. But Orchard Lake St. Mary's, I mean, they finished it off. You know, Croslex had its chances at the end. They got a couple stops. They had an unfortunate fumble on a punt return, and it just kind of they just couldn't get it just right at the end with the offense.
Well, these Billy Grappi and Gavin Espinosa, the quarterback, are both coming back.
Yeah, they're both
back. It's a great learning experience, and they're pretty darn good for starting as varsity players, right? In your junior year.
Yeah.
Grappi was there.
Yeah, Grappi was the starter last year about midway through the season, and Espinosa started on defense last year as a sophomore. But when you look at the Croslex roster, it's something that we don't really talk – we didn't really talk about much this year, but this is a young team, you know. They had to replace a lot of seniors last year, and there's a lot of young guys that stepped up and filled some positions. Now, there was a lot of talented seniors on this team that they're really going to miss as well. But I do like the fact that Espinosa and Grappi are back next year. Joey Ramsey will be back next year. You know, they're unfortunately losing a decent chunk of their receiving core.
Yeah,
with Trevor Soule, who we've talked about quite a bit on this show.
Over 500 yards throughout the season.
Yeah, so 11 touchdowns. But Drew Hosterman, Jackson Gonzalez, those are going to be tough guys to replace. Benny Mendoza at center, he's going to be tough to replace. Yeah. But we're at the point in Coach LeGros' tenure at Croslex where, yes, it is tough when you lose those seniors, but you've built up the program enough that – you know, it's the next guy up next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have those type of juniors returning, I think that Croslex, there's big things ahead of them next year.
All right. So, you know, in a little bit of disappointing, too, regular season, you finish at 7-3. You did have a couple tough losses. But I think it was just the competitive nature of the Blue Water Area Conference. And, Jonathan, you can comment on this. You got to witness firsthand. You got to see some of these teams. Elmont, Armada, North Branch, Carrouse of Lexington, and of course a salute of the hat to the Yale Bulldogs. We'll talk about that coming up here next. But John, have you just got to marvel at how good it was this year for this conference?
Oh, through the regular season, it was a great regular season for the Blue Water Area Conference. Five of the seven teams made it to the playoffs. The only thing you look at is what it. You know, we really questioned Division IV districts. Alignment with how North Branch and Croswell got separated, and you wonder what if they were all grouped together, what would have happened if one of them would have won and maybe made in their advancement. And that's just the only thing you look at for the Blue Water area. The only way you could ask for a better year was for somebody to make some noise in the playoffs. But I mean, credit to them, they had a great regular season. They beat up on each other like no other conference did.
All right, but disappointing for the BWAC, all bounced from the first round of playoffs. So we'll talk about a couple more teams, Armada, Yale also, and Elmont coming up. We are going to go in overtime, of course, it's 7 o'clock hour for Stand Up Broadcasting, WBGV 92.5, High School 8 Player Football. Yeah, we still have those games to talk about coming up. It'll be Brown City, Deckerville. That's very salivating. We were just waiting for that one. And I guess Brown City surprised some people. They didn't roll over against Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, but Oakland Christian came in to fight. Brown City was ready. So, yeah, can't wait to talk about that. We still got some BWAC. We'll be right back here. Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds, an affordable price, overall reliability, or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agra Valley Services is the better choice for internet, and it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agra Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agra Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agravalleyservices.com.
From Graff, Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have three Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
All right.
Hey, real quick before we get into the rest of the BWAC, one thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about Croslex and Orchard Lake St. Mary's, just kind of to put into context to the type of team that Croslex was going up against in Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Ryan Mooney, the kid who had two interceptions in the first quarter. He also had a receiving touchdown. He was actually committed to play baseball at Notre Dame, and over the summer he decided he wanted to come out and play football. This is his first year playing football. This past weekend he just picked up an offer from the University of Michigan. So
the Wolverines?
The Wolverines, yeah. So that team they got some great kids on there. So
that's pretty awesome. All right, Armada Tigers. We're in this game. They were leading 14-12 at the end of the first quarter. 6 points scored by Flint Kersley, making it 18-14. No points from Armada in the second quarter. No points in the third quarter. 7 more points for Flint Kersley. Points.
I think you got the wrong game. That was
the week before.
That
there
was
you
week
go.
Nine game.
Yeah,
this
week nine. They lost that one. In fact,
lost back to back games to Flint schools.
That's right. Yeah. So, okay, let me start over again. They lose anyways, 36-35 by 1 point. What do you know about this game?
Not much. Like I said at the when I first joined you, when you look at Flint Hamity's schedule, there's not really a lot of impressive wins on that schedule. You play your Flint Beachers, but you got Burton, Madison on the schedule, the former NCTL team. So honestly, going into this, I thought Armada was going to be the heavy favorite.
Yeah, and actually, it's pretty similar to what I was just talking about, the other Flint team.
Right.
7 points for Armada in the first quarter, 8 points for Hamity for the Hawks. I'm correct in that one, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then 6 more points in the second quarter, but 14 for Armada. So they were leading 21-14 at the half. It was still close, 28-22 at that point, as Flint Hamity scored 8 points, but then they got 14 in the fourth and 7 for Armada in the fourth quarter also, making it 28 to, they ended up going in overtime, didn't they? Or not? My math is so terrible right now. That's right, 35 points. That's where it ended in the fourth quarter because 14 points by Hamity, only 7 points in the fourth quarter. There we go. I got the stats up now. All right. Tough loss here for Armada. Especially the fact that they got their co-champions of the BWAC of North Branch. But as we said, all five BWAC teams all bounced in the first round. So this is a disappointing loss.
I would say definitely, yeah. A little bit of a disappointing loss for Armada. But, they took another step in the right direction this year.
Yeah.
Last season was kind of that first step towards being competitors in the BWAC. They ended up losing to Croslex late in the season last year, lost to Croslex again this year, but Then you get wins against Elmont. You get the win against North Branch. Those are signature wins. I mean, those are wins that you can build the program around. And they got good things going on in Armada. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were competing for a BWAC title again next year.
Total yardage for Armada, 391 yards, 162 yards passing, 229 yards rushing also for this Armada Tiger offense. But coming up short by 1 point, it was all due to the two-point conversions by Flint Hammity able to convert. We know Armada likes to kick their extra points, but they did that. You know, they did what they were supposed to do, what the game plan was. They just needed a field goal like they did against North Branch and maybe, right, you know, have that cushion there, Jonathan. Wasn't able to get that.
My thought process on PATs and two-point conversions is if you can convert a two-point conversion just over 50% of the time, you should be going for them every time.
The other key thing is, in a close game like that, they did have two turnovers, an interception and a fumble also. So, again, that's like a drive-killing drive right there when you think you're moving along, but then you lose the ball twice like that. Against a Flint Hammity team that is more than capable of beating anybody on their schedule, you know.
Yeah. That's one of the things that Armada does really well, and we also see it with North Branch and Elmont. They do a great job of controlling the clock, of running the ball, taking care of the ball. So two turnovers is a little bit out of character for Armada, I would say.
They're a 9-1 team, by the way, Flint Hammity. So a good season for them. The GAC, what does that stand for there, Jonathan?
Genesee Area Conference.
So conference. They got Flint Powers Catholic in that.
Yeah, that's
Beecher, you know, Bendel. Well, yeah, those are, you know, those are typical wins. But
the other side of that GAC is it used to be like New Lothar for them. So that used to be a very, very tough conference.
So you know, they'll take on Marine City now. That's going to be a pretty salivating matchup there, Flint Hammity and Marine City. And I think that's going to be Saturday because I think they're flipping with Cardinal Mooney to play on Friday. Marine City will play on Saturday because more than likely when you get to a regional championship game, you'll end up playing on Saturday probably. So,
yeah.
You know, depends if you get the home playoff or not at that point. So that's who Flint Hammity will take on. So think about that. You know, everybody was just like, oh, I hope they win because if Marine City wins, you're going to get that.
Yeah, you get that
early
rematch,
you know, and it just doesn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
And again, in a close game like that, 36-35, you just can't turn the ball over when it's so close like that. So,
yeah. And I don't think it was a situation where Armada was looking ahead to that rematch with Marine City. Yeah. But I'm sure it was on their minds a little bit.
Speaking of Marine City, they had to take on a BWAC team. They took on the Yale Bulldogs, and Marine City pretty much did what they were supposed to do, what they're capable of doing, defeating the Yale Bulldogs. In that one, that was a 42-7 win for Marine City over the Yale Bulldogs. Congrats like you're saying about Armada, you hope that the rest of the BWAC is taking that step in the right direction where it'd be 4 or 5 team run competition wise. Mm-hmm. You believe that Garrett Grumman, now a couple years in here, this is third year, right?
Yes.
Second year? Third year. Second or third year.
I don't know.
Well, how long has Legro been there?
The COVID year throws everything off for me. Yeah.
This is a good step in the direction. I mean, he's putting his offense in an exciting offense where you don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Run and gun, you know, pass and all that. Different style of offense. And I think the Yale Bulldogs and the kids there are adapting as they go, this is fun. This is fun again.
Yeah. Well, and
or just, you could say not boring football.
Right. Well, and just the fact that you made it into the postseason, that's great experience for a team. For a program that's trying to build itself up, just to get into that type of atmosphere and the playoff atmosphere. Maybe you didn't have the success that you were hoping for, but Marine City is a perennial powerhouse in the playoffs. And, you know, they're in the playoffs every year, and they're used to that situation. This was pretty big for Yale because now you're going to start seeing these kids buy in more. Not that they weren't already, but I think this season is really going to help Grunman continue to build this program up.
And, to get in the playoffs, too, with that record, almost beating Croswell at 1 point, you know, in the season. It's going to be exciting to see if they can continue some progress there and then make it a you know, 14
that's
race.
Yeah,
to the
that's
BWAC,
the thing. You know, there's not a lot of room up top in the BWAC, so it's going to be it'll be hard for Yale to kind of break into that when you think of Croslex, Almont, Armada, North Branch. But it's nice to see that they're not, you know, in the basement anymore.
Marine City scored 13 seconds into the game, so
that's tough. Yeah.
Yale quarterback Connor Jakubiak threw a pass on I do believe it says, and according to the report from the Times Herald, Marine City safety Paul Muscat was able to pick it off. And,
pick 6, 13 seconds into the game.
27 yards for a touchdown. Yeah. And again, you can't win games with turnovers. So
yeah, well, and you know, you can't give Marine City a lead that quickly. You know,
Marine City finishes they move on at 8-2 overall. The Bulldogs finish at 5-5. Hey, 500 record, great improvement there. 4-7 passing for Marine City, 65 yards, one touchdown also, and they also run that wing T offense. You know, 11 carries, 72 yards, two touchdowns. For Mr. Jeffrey Hayslip, also at the tailback position, they were just kind of control the game with that ground game also. So, good job by them. They'll take on Flint Hamity. So, sometimes when I don't have any teams left, I will go see Marine City play. You know,
they're close enough to be kind of interested in seeing how they do. They've had a lot of great playoff runs, a couple state titles, so. They're definitely a team that, you keep an eye on them once all your other teams are out.
Anything you want to add there, Jonathan?
I wish we would have done better this past week in our coverage of your teams, but, hey, we still got four teams looking to make a run, guaranteed to have one in a semifinal next weekend in 8-man, and hopefully two more playing for a regional title in 11-man.
All right, we're going to move on here and now finally get into high school 8-player football. I do believe
we touched
on all these games. We had some coverage area teams in the playoffs for high school 8-player football also in two different divisions. So we'll be right back here on the Sportsline High School Football Radio Show. We'll be right back.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky. Serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Mark McGarry here from More Motor Sales in Caro. If you are planning a new car or truck purchase, or you have a current lease expiring, it's time to start planning ahead. Inventory shortages and extended order delivery times are expected to continue. Whether you want to buy or lease, turn your car in or trade it in, we can help you make the best decision to capitalize on the current market conditions. Ford Motor Company is offering an order incentive of $1,000 on many vehicle lines over and above any other rebate place your custom order. That's More Motor Sales, just west of Caro on M81. Visit us on the web at themoreautogroup.com and come see why for 57 years your friends and neighbors have been driving to Caro.
All right, back here for more Roundup, our supersized edition of Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Feary. Forgot to say goodbye to Jonathan Mitchell. He decided, I got to watch football here.
Yeah.
NFL, Monday Night Football. So I lose once again in fantasy football. This is my worst fantasy football year.
Really? What's the record?
2-6 right now.
Oh, better than the Lions.
You're right.
I guess that's setting the bar pretty low, but.
Thank you, Mike Gallagher.
Yeah, I got you, buddy.
And I had 3 games where I lost by 1 or under 10 points.
That sounds just like the Lions, man.
You're not making me feel any better, Mike Gallagher. All right. I knew this was going to happen. You know, I had a great run, you know, like New England did, you know.
Yeah.
I was like the New England, and I was always right there in the thick. And then that one year. All right. North Huron Warriors lose in Division II. They made it to the playoffs. They finished on a strong note there.
They did, yeah. And, you know, with all that they lost last year, we've talked about it quite a bit on the show, you know, losing Will Case. We weren't really sure what to expect from North Huron this year. And with the parity that we saw in the NCTL Stripes division, to be the second place team in that division this year is really impressive, because the Stripes, Akron Fairgrove was much improved.
Yeah.
Ashley was a surprise this year. They were improved. Bay City All Saints was pretty solid. So for North Huron, I mean, yeah, they got better every week. They had a couple of the close win against Akron Fairgrove was great, and then the Week 9 win over Burton Atherton, that was pretty surprising, I would say, just because of what we saw Burton Atherton do against Deckerville, you know. So yeah, great for North Huron. They got a great coach over there in Chad Knobloch, and that's a tough draw with Augre Sims. That's a great offense. We've seen our teams match up with Augre Sims a couple of times in the playoffs the past couple of years. They beat Peck last year and beat Deckerville a few years ago in the semifinals. So, great season for North Huron.
So, North Huron, I got the stats right here, in fact. In the game against Augre Sims, 8 of 10 passing, 8 completions out of 10 attempts, 243 yards passing, 3 touchdowns for Mason Hatch, the senior. By the way, this is a fully loaded senior team here.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose a lot. Kind of wondering what they're going to bring back this year. Rushing-wise, Jordan Coleman, the senior, 1 touchdown on 12 carries. Mason Hatch, 10 carries for 13 yards. They get 1 rushing touchdown. They did pass for 3 against Augre Sims, but Augre Sims a little bit tougher than that right now. They lose that game 68-26. Stark contrast to last year, where it was 48-42.
Right. And you know, that regional final matchup between Augre Sims and Morris, you know, I would have much preferred Peck North Huron in the regional final, but that's going to be a great game. Morris was incredibly impressive from what I saw just a little bit when I was at Peck, when I stopped in for a little bit on Friday. That's a good team, and that should be a great game.
So, for Augre Sims, I have their stats, 506 total yards, 132 yards passing, rushing yards, 374 in their win against North Huron. I saw some familiar names also from last year. Keegan Bender for Augre Sims, leading rusher, 193 yards, 4 touchdowns. The quarterback, passing-wise, for Augre Sims, that was Carter Zine, I do believe, or Zian. He had 132 yards, 1 touchdown, had an interception, but also rushing-wise, he had 3 touchdowns on 70 yards for Augre Sims. So Augre Sims seems to be that team now that are in the mix in the first, second rounds, or regional championship game in the 8-player football game. So they're kind of like the perennial power in that area.
Yeah, at this point. Absolutely.
So, let's talk about the Peck Pirates. Took on the Morris Orioles, and gut punch there.
It got away from him pretty quickly, but that was an 8-6 game after the first quarter, and it just kind of slowly unraveled. It was 32-6 by halftime, and Caleb Lettner goes down with an injury late in the second quarter, and you know, it's a tough way for Peck to end the season. But what a great season it was for Peck, you know. A lot of broken records. They win a Stripes title, first league title since 2014. And they were a lot of fun to watch this year. Caleb Lettner was impressive every time I saw him. You know, we had the probably the game of the year, Deckerville and Peck. You know, that was that was a lot of fun. Their win on homecoming against New Haven Merritt to clinch a share of the title. To clinch it outright, excuse me. And, yeah, I mean, and that's a young team. Peck has, they have just three seniors on the team this year. Now, granted, all three of them were incredibly important to their success this year. Brady Babcock, the quarterback, Stephen Van Conant, the record-setting defensive end, and then obviously Lettner. So it's going to be really tough to replace those guys. I'll be interested to see who takes over the running back position next year, because Peck has had a pretty good stretch of, you know, elite running backs. Their entire offensive line is going to be back next year, and that was one of the big keys to their success this year, was the offensive line.
I want to take you back to that Deckerville loss for Peck, 62-60, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, one of their top players in line injured himself during warm-ups, I believe.
Yeah.
So Caleb Lettner was missing maybe a little bit of a extra push to the front.
Yeah. It didn't seem to bother him, but...
Yeah. But you would think having that extra help, you know, you might get those 2 points, you know.
Oh, for sure,
Two-point conversion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, after I had heard about the injury, it made me think, you know, that kind of explains why Peck got off to that slow start.
Mm.
You know, one of your teammates, one of your starters, he goes down in warmups. I mean, that's going to be hard to just shake off by opening kickoff, you know. Now, Peck, they rallied back from that, but they were down by a few scores by that point. But that's a tough way for him to end his season. But he'll be back next year as well. So
yeah, so... Future looks bright.
Yeah.
All right. We have some time here to talk about the Deckerville game also. Oh, the win over Kingston. It was a close one, 14-8, 0-0 at the end of the first. It was tied at the half, 8-8. No points scored in the third. Deckerville gets a score in the fourth quarter, and that was it right there. That's how the scoring. 14-8 in this final. Deckerville wins. They had 10 first downs to Kingston's 4, so the time of possession probably in Deckerville's favor. Rushing yards, 120 yards. That's it on 46 carries on rushing. That's like, wow, that's not very much.
No.
Kingston, 24 rushing attempts on 40 yards. Passing-wise, 1 for 5, 45 yards for Deckerville. 1 of 9 for Kingston. Thank you to Bill Brown for sending this, the coach of Deckerville. 23 yards passing for Kingston. Kingston scores on a special teams play. 70-yard punt return. And then Parker Merriman, a 45-yard reception for Hunter Garza. David Shanks, a reception for Garza on the conversion. And then Parker Merriman with a 1-yard run. The pass failed, but that was enough. Rushing-wise, Dylan Ball. Not really a factor, because he was outrushed by Hunter Garza, the quarterback. But 25 carries for Dylan Ball for 39 yards. Garza, 15 carries for 49 yards. Chris Koza, 5 carries for 31 yards. Merriman, 1 yard, and he got the 1-yard touchdown. So he gets the bread and butter and peanut butter, you know, and the jelly with all that. Passing touchdown by Garza, also a key. This is just like, one of the probably the lowest yardage, I think, by Deckerville in quite some time.
Especially output. in a win too. You know, if you're only rushing for 120 yards, you don't usually win those games. But you know, all the credit goes to the Deckerville defense. We got to put the disclaimer out there, because this was one of the first things Coach Brown mentioned when I talked to him yesterday, was, you know, Owen Corliss didn't play for Kingston.
Yes. So he didn't play at all?
He did not play at
all. Okay, because we were all wondering, are they going to put a club on him?
Right.
He had surgery on this injury on his hand, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the big things. But then you also have to look at the fact that, you know, arguably Deckerville's top player has been out for most of the season in Peter Lapp. I mean, that. You look at that first matchup, and Kingston had over 450 yards of total offense, and to hold them to just 63 total yards, I mean, it's just so impressive. Like, it's hard to even comprehend it, really.
Yeah.
But we talked about it on the show last week, and it's something that Coach Brown said going into the game with Kingston. In order to help the defense, the offense has to be a lot better than it was in the regular season matchup. And now statistically, yeah, maybe the offense wasn't much better, but it was good enough. They sustained drives. They, you know, they made the plays when they needed to, and you know, that helped them control the clock, and that helped keep the Kingston offense off the field, because that's still a great Kingston offense without Corliss when you put Tanner James in there at quarterback. I mean, he was great in the win against Mayville. He was good against CPS in the season finale. Just an impressive win for Deckerville, though.
Because they're a fairly young team. Bar some seniors on there, but they're a fairly young and small team at this point. They have the two big studs out there.
Yeah.
Probably the slowest tight ends I've ever seen in the world, but they're still big.
They're always
good
open,
separation.
Though.
Yeah, they're always open.
Though, yeah.
And they made some pretty acrobatic for their size catches sometimes, and then some mind-boggling. How did you drop that one? You know.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but for a young team from Deckerville, and look at their record right now. Also, they're hanging in at 7-3 overall, and their losses are to some of the top teams: Oakland Christian, Kingston, who they lost 56-20 early in the season with that fully strength a Kingston team of Owen Corliss. And then their other loss, probably the top team in Ohio, Toledo Christian, Ohio. So they didn't run away from the competition. Deckerville scheduled that game. You know, they said, we want to see what we got up against. And they found
and it
out.
It made them better, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, these past couple weeks, you know, after Deckerville lost to Kingston, we said it last week, you know, they've been in playoff mode for the last 4 weeks because they've needed to win to get into the playoffs. And every week I just go back and I think of that game at the beginning of the season when they really struggled with KPAC. It doesn't even resemble that team anymore. Like, they've grown so much over the season and they've gained so much experience. Hunter Garza and Dylan Ball moving into starting positions on the defense. Dylan Ball moving into a starting position on offense. Garza, just a sophomore at quarterback, and you know, he's made a lot of big plays down the stretch. He's been very good. He was almost perfect against Peck. You know, he had the game-winning touchdown pass against Kingston, and you know, the offensive line's gotten better each week, and just a very impressive coaching performance, not only from head coach Bill Brown, but from Dan Brown and Steve Blashill, because Dan Brown and Steve Blashill are the ones that are, you know, coaching up that defense. And to, you know, go out and have a performance like that against Kingston is just incredible.
Yeah, the back-to-back losses to Oakland Christian, 44-52, high-scoring affair, and then losing 56-20 to Kingston, as you said, they had to still battle. They took on Mayville, but Mayville threw up 34 points on them. They still played them tough.
Mm-hmm.
Atherton played them really tough. Mm-hmm. That was just stark. They finished that game in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes. They came back in that game.
Yeah.
Deckerville had to come back in that game. And then they battled against Peck, which was one of the most exciting games in four overtimes also.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this one was just mind-boggling. It was only 14-8 in this score. And
I was very surprised by that score, But, you know, credit to Deckerville. They did exactly what they set out to do. They controlled the clock, and, you know, the defense just had their game of the season, I would say.
Well, the game of the season was Brown City, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian once again of the week.
Yeah.
Another great game, and that is going to be our final high school football team we're going to talk about when we come back. And pretty exciting for Brown City. We're going to talk about that next with their win over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. We'll be right back, and also we're going to go that through that list of the volleyball girls playoffs. We have the ball scheduled there for you because they're in the playoff mode right now as we speak. We'll be right back here on the super size of the high school Sportsline radio show.
We interrupt this program to bring you this special bulletin. Attention to the employees of Dunn Paper Company in Port Huron. For those who are losing their health insurance, make an appointment immediately with the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Grant Smith and his staff are here to help you through the process and get you the proper health insurance that fits your needs. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, your local connection.
Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
Run with us on a John Deere Z365R Z-Track mower. Built for taking it easy. That's right. We're talking lemonade on a lazy afternoon easy. Or a staycation with your garden gnome easy. Because we're all about keeping it simple. That's why we added the Easy Change 30-second oil change system to make the job nice and simple. And with the convenience of standard mulch control, you'll control your clippings without any extra effort. So you can get back to the good stuff. Because lawns aren't just for mowing. They're for living. Nothing runs like a deer. Get a new Z300 Series zero-turn mower with 0% APR for 24 months at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Race, and Rochester Hills.
It's Sportsline Tuesday. It's a replay of Monday's show as fewer teams are now left in our playoffs and coverage area. Sportsline Tuesday, a replay of Monday's show. Our game of the week in high school football playoff action features high school A-player football with the Brown City Green Devils hosting the Decker Vuegos this coming Friday evening, 7 p.m. is the pregame kickoff at 7:30 p.m. You can listen live on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show. Don't fear the Reaper, and Brown City didn't fear Auburn Hills Oakland Christian after that. Well, there was a video made out there, apparently, so I'm just going to leave that at that. So, Brown City Green Devils gets the win over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. We cover that game on WBGV 92.5 FM, our game of the night Friday. I had the game against for Marlette on 92.5 FM. Brown City gets the huge win, 66-38. Now, it was closer than what the score describes here. Brown City was able to make some key stops against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Lancers, by the way. They battled hard. They both did. But Brown City exploded in the second quarter with 28 points. It was 24-22 at the end of the first quarter. No points scored by Auburn Hills Oakland Christian in the second quarter or the third quarter. 34 points scored by Brown City in the second and third quarters. They just exploded open. It was going to get tougher for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian to catch up at that point, especially in eight-player football, and the way that Brown City was running the ball, also scoring quickly or grinding it out, taking some time off that clock like they tried to do in the second half, and it was very effective as Brown City scored 6 points in the third quarter, only 8 points in the fourth. They were outscored, but it was only 16 points in the second half for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian in the fourth quarter. So great job by Brown City, 476 total rushing yards, 89 passing yards also. In this good win against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you say about Brown City? They did exactly what they've done all season. You know, they lean on that running game. We've talked about the offensive line quite a bit. We've talked about Kyle Affrey, talked about Clint Ford, Lawson Cooper emerging as not only a running threat but a passing threat. Man, Brown City, they're playing so well right now, and it all starts with that offense. You know, they averaged over 10 yards a carry. They only had four third downs the whole game. I mean, that's something you don't see, but that's how good that offense was against Oakland Christian.
Let's talk about the how good Kyle Affer has been. 5 touchdowns, 20 carries, 232 yards. My goodness, that's a lot of yardage there, average-wise.
Yeah, and, you know, on only 20 carries, They spread it out as well. You know, they got it to Clint Ford. He went over 100 yards. Cooper almost got 100 yards. And, you know, the nice thing the thing that kind of stood out, I mean, obviously the rushing numbers, they stand out, but, you know, they've been doing it every week. But the past couple weeks, it's been nice to see the passing game kind of open up a little bit more because, you know, teams are going to start stacking the box and, you know, try and stop that running game. And you have to be able to take advantage of that through the air. Kalen Hagee, he's back from injury. He had a touchdown reception. He had a touchdown reception last week. So as we get further into the playoffs, you know, it's been a thing all season. We talked about it with North Branch, and we talked about it with Ubley and Armada and those type of teams where you don't really pass the ball because you don't have to. But it's getting to the point into the season where
you're going to want to.
You're gonna need to.
You're going
to
need it.
You're going to need it, and it's been nice to see that Brown City is capable of doing that because, you know, the word is out on Brown City. They can run the ball very well. That's no secret. And, you know, teams are going to do their best to try and stop that. And, you know, that's going to open up other things for them offensively.
And it's not any, I guess you could say, I or wing T type of offensive backfield. They're utilizing what they've done in 11-player football. And it's pretty effective right now, obviously, here in 8-player football.
They've made the transition look easy offensively. They've been their past I want to say four or five games, at least going back to the Martin game, they've scored over 60 points. And you know, if you're scoring over 60 points, there's a good chance you're going to win. And when I was talking to Coach Brown yesterday, that was one thing he mentioned. He said, you know, if we get into a shootout with Brown City, that's going to be a long night for us. And what they're gonna try and do is try and do what they did against Kingston. Now it's going to be a lot tougher against Brown City, but that's what Deckerville's going to go in and try to do, try and control the clock. So I think this week a lot of the responsibility falls on the defense. You're going to have to be able to get stops. You're going to have to be able to get Deckerville's offense off the field so then you can get back out there with your offense and put some points on the board.
Yeah, it was Auburn Hills Oakland Christian scoring first, 8-0. Brown City responded. That was at the 10:51 mark. Brown City responded just a little, a minute and plus seconds to tie it up 8-8. Oakland responding, took back the lead 16-8. Brown City scores 40 seconds later to tie it up 16-16. Then Brown City was able to get the ball. Kyle Affer ran for 45 yards on that next play, the first play when they got the ball back and stopped Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, taking a lead 24-16. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian got back on track, 25-second mark. In the first quarter alone, it was 22-24. And then in the second quarter, when the opening minutes there, Brown City took the 10-point lead, 32-22. And then, you know, they continue on right there. One, two, three, four times they scored in the second quarter. It just really blew things open, 52-22. 30-point lead is a pretty comfortable lead when you're feeling good. That's when you start slowing it down, taking some time off the clock, and that's what they did. Only one score. And the third quarter, they got a score, making it 58-22 at that point. So 36-point, and they had that running clock helps, too, at that point.
Yeah.
Auburn Hills did score in the fourth quarter to stop that running clock. They did that twice, but as soon as Brown City got the score, it started up again.
Right. And, you know, coming into this game, that was a 8-1 Oakland Christian team.
Yeah. And their only loss to Kingston.
And they were – Oakland Christian was the team that played Kingston the closest in the regular season. So I think going into this game, people were probably expecting a little bit of a closer game. But that's something we talked about last week as well. It's been nice to see, you know, after all the whole season, Brown City going all over the place, playing these games, playing these teams we don't know anything about, to come back and play KPAC Week 9, to play Oakland Christian, and now to get the opportunity to play Deckerville. We're really gonna find out how Brown City stacks up to the teams, at least locally. You know.
Yeah. You mentioned Lawson Cooper, 4 of 6 for passing, 89 yards, had a touchdown pass also. Of course, he gets help from the receiver, mm-hmm. well, the yak after the catch also. Kyle Affer, 5 touchdown rushing-wise, as I said, 232 yards, 11 average yeah. per carry, 118 yards, 10 yards average for Clint Ford. Don't forget about him. He does a lot of work out there. He does a lot of the little things, too. He picks up those key first downs sometimes also.
Yeah. I would almost describe him as the glue guy, but he's almost like too good for that. You know, like he's a great player, but it's just the fact that he does everything for them, you know.
Yeah. Especially defensively.
So valuable. Oh, defensively, special
his
teams.
Speed,
blocking for Kyle Affer.
Yes.
I mean, when you have that offensive line in front of Affer and then you get a guy like Clint Ford lead blocking as well, it just makes that offense go.
They complement each other very well. So,
absolutely.
It's a 1-2 punch, and then you have the uppercut from Lawson Cooper, the quarterback, 8 carries, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Clint Ford had 2 touchdowns rushing-wise. Also, receiving-wise, Callen Hagee, right?
Mm-hmm.
He dropped one that could have been, but he got it back. He got a reception, ran it for a touchdown also. So he made up for that drop pass. I thought, oh, that just feels so awful. He felt like T.J. Lockett out there. But, hey, he recovered well.
Yeah.
So congrats on that aspect. And you mentioned the defense. Yeah, Clint Ford, Ryan Binkley-Potts made a lot of big plays in that game, and he has throughout the whole season also. He helps clean up the assist with the tackles also. You talked about, if you remember in the past, and we had the coaches in here, because they wanted to talk about how the transition was, and you know, for this team. First year in 8-player football, we've seen a lot of teams in the Thumb area making great strides in their first year alone. But the key thing we always, you know, we brought up is you guys kind of seemed like you lost gas in the red zone. That's why you couldn't score. It was mind-boggling. A lot of yards in a game, but couldn't score. And I think they kind of alluded to the fact it's probably the strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
And you see it now. They don't look like they're slowing down.
Right.
Like they have in 11
play finishing football. Drives.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing, I think, is the improvement that we've seen from the defense. You know, they're making stops when they need to.
It is a different game, you know.
Right. But, I mean, as you saw in that second quarter against Oakland Christian, all that offense needs is the defense to make a stop or a couple stops. If you make 3 stops and the offense is going to go out there and score every single time you give it back to them, that's going to win you a lot of games. Deckerville, a little bit of a different type of offense than Oakland Christian. I know Oakland Christian did a lot of different things offensively, whereas Deckerville, you know what they're going to do. They're going to come in and they're going to try and be more physical than you. They're going to run the ball. They're going to let Garza throw it around a little bit. And it'll be a different type of challenge for the Brown City defense.
Oakland Christian's quarterbacks, 2 different quarterbacks. One was like a runner type of quarterback. He had 14 completions. Number 11 did 14 completions, 30 attempts, 245 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He did have an interception. Rushing-wise was number 11, but he finally got limited down in his yards. Actually, number 22 was the runner/quarterback, I do believe. 16 carries, 64 yards also, and a touchdown. So it was mostly of the passing offense for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. But a well-balanced team, so maybe that kind of helps Brown City as they go up here against Deckerville.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Now
we're going to see another NCTL team that Brown City is going to take on. You know, like they play K-Pac. They played Peck earlier in the season. They got a really big win over Peck. Defeated K-Pac pretty handily also near the end of the season. The lone loss for Brown City is against the Martin Clippers, who are 8-2. Their 2 losses is to 9-0 teams currently in the playoffs. North Point Christian, who was taking on Bridgman, the other team that Martin lost to, they're going up against each other, Bridgman Bees and North Point Christian, 2 top teams. So that's a salivating matchup for that regional championship.
Yeah.
So whoever wins,
I believe Martin has Adrian Lenaway Christian. Correct?
Another top team. Yeah. Lenaway Christian this week, and they are 8-2, and their loss was to Climax Cox, who is just lost to Mendon last week in the playoffs also.
Okay.
So Yeah, I mean, now you're starting to see the really cream of the top, you know, right now, especially when you get to this regional championship. It's going to be an exciting game. You're gonna Everybody's wondering, what's going to happen in this game? What's going to happen? Who's going to punch who in the face here, you know, first?
Yeah. So. Well, and, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting this game to probably be Brown City-Kingston, maybe not Brown City-Deckerville. Yeah. But, man, how cool is that for us in Santa Clara County?
We're going to a state semifinal regardless.
Right, yeah.
Our coverage, as reporters and as media.
So, yeah, absolutely. And it's cool because, you know, those are two teams that used to play each other when Deckerville was in the Greater Thumb East. Not one of the top rivalries back in the day. You know, when you think of Deckerville, you kind of think Deckerville-Sandusky, Deckerville-Harbor Beach. But those two teams do have a history. And it's going to be great to have Brown City playing on their home field. If you don't have anything to do Friday night, go ahead and pop out to the volleyball district championship, and then go catch some football after that. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun in Brown City on Friday night.
The last time these two teams met was in 11-player football, the year 2009. Deckerville lost in the Greater Thumb East Conference, 35-6.
And I believe that was Deckerville's last season in the Greater Thumb
Because in
Conference.
2010, they went to the NCTL.
Yeah.
And then they went to eight-player football in 2012 and won a state championship 14-12 over Bel Air.
Yeah.
2012. That's 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Yeah. All right. This is for the Green Devils. Motley Crue. They went in over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Shout out the devil for Motley Crue. Good luck to the Brown City Green Devils and the Deckerville Eagles. Our game of the night, WBGV 92.5 FM. It will be Brown City hosting Deckerville Friday night. It's a 7:30 p.m. kickoff, 7 p.m. Pregame on 92.5 FM WBGV and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Well, thank you, Mike. That was our Supersize Monday edition. We wanted to get a high school football sports show. Hopefully, we're still talking about some teams come next week, and we will combine football and volleyball come next week because we're dwindling down to our teams here now.
Yeah, and we can talk about how our teams fared at the cross-country state finals.
Yeah. So there you go. Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline. Thank you, Mike Gallagher.
Absolutely.
Pick up the San Lake County News Wednesday edition this coming Wednesday. Pick it up. Get a subscription. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Volleyball Cross-Country Show now.
Finally.